We ought to learn from Jonah, and I hope we do tonight. Talked about him a little bit this morning as we were talking about those that experience some storms. And there are people throughout the Bible that have squandered part of their life. We read the story of Jacob in the book of Genesis, who had, who tricked his father, Isaac, stole the blessing from his younger brother, Esau. Esau vowed to kill him, and to avoid that conflict, his mother sent him to live with his uncle. And for 20 years, he was away from home. For 20 years, and of course, God blessed him while he was away from home. He ended up with four wives and ended up with 12 children. All that time away from home, God could have blessed him if he would have stayed at home. God would have blessed him if he'd done right. But 20 years of his life he spent away from home. We read the story in the book of Ruth of Naomi and Elimelech, who left home, left Israel, and went to Moab. They went because of a famine. They went because they thought God couldn't take care of them at home. And they went to Moab and was there for 10 years. Elimelech died. Their two sons died. Of course, we know the story of Ruth. That was one of the blessings that came out of their story. Ruth came back and married Boaz and was in the lineage of Christ. But all those years that Naomi and Elimelech wasted as they didn't trust God. And then same thing happened to Abraham. Abraham was right where God wanted him to be, and a famine came. And because he didn't trust God that could take care of him, he picked up Sarah and everybody else and went to Egypt. And we know what happened in Egypt. They picked up a little slave girl, Hagar, and how different the world would have been if Abraham would have just obeyed God, trusted God, and stayed where God put him. I don't think God wants us to waste any of our life. Last Sunday in our Sunday school lesson, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and we were in Ephesians chapter 5, and there's a verse 16 in chapter 5, that talks about redeeming the time. When we talked about that verse, I talked about how what that verse means is that God gives us opportunities, and we ought not to waste any of those. We ought not to waste any of those opportunities, that we ought to take advantage of every opportunity that he gives us. And he gives us opportunities every day. I'm going to switch from my this mic. I'm sorry, John? Oh, okay. We ought not to waste those opportunities. We ought not to waste years. We ought not to waste months. We ought not to waste days. We ought not to waste hours. We ought to redeem the time. So let me just remind you, God came to Jonah. He was a prophet. He was a preacher. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. It was a wicked city. And from a human standpoint, we can understand why Jonah didn't want to go. I mean, his attitude was, well, the Ninevites deserve whatever they get from God. If God wants to destroy them, that's exactly what they deserve. And so when God told him to go, he went the opposite direction. He went down, got on a boat, headed to Tarshish, which was the opposite direction from Nineveh. Well, you know the story. It's a story we've all heard since we were children. He got on that boat, and he went to sleep. And a storm came up. And the sailors thought that all hope was gone. They were going to die. The captain came down to Jonah and said, hey, wake up, man. We're all about to go down. You need to get up. And they decided that this storm was from God, and they decided to cast lots to see who was the culprit who God was after. And the lot fell upon Jonah. And he had told them that who he was and what he was, and that he was fleeing from the Lord. And he actually said, this storm is because of me. You just need to pick me up and throw me overboard, and God will save you. They didn't want to do that. In fact, the Bible says they rowed hard to bring the boat to land, but they couldn't make any progress. And they picked Jonah up and threw him overboard and said, God, please don't hold us accountable for this. And again, God had prepared a great fish, a whale, and Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, some people count Jonah's 3 days and three nights like they count Christ's time in the tomb, 3 days and three nights. And they say a partial day was a day, a partial night was a night. I think he spent three full nights and three full days in the belly of that whale. I think he was there. And he prayed. And he asked for God's forgiveness. And God gave him a second chance. He caused the whale to throw Jonah upon the land. From where Jonah was thrown upon the land, it was a three-day journey to Nineveh. He made it in a day. And he went in to preach. He preached the message that God gave him the first time and the second time. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. That was the message. It wasn't a message of grace. It was a message of judgment. It wasn't a message that offered a second chance. It was a message of judgment. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And the people of Nineveh heard. From the greatest, the king, down to the pauper, the least, they heard the message of Jonah, and they had a great revival. They put on sackcloth, which was a way of showing God how serious they were. They sat in ashes, they fasted, and we read it. What the king says: who can tell? Don't know for sure, but who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger? That we perish not. And God did. And again, as you read the account in Jonah chapter 3 there, it appears that everybody turned to God. It made a change in their city. I mean, if that happened today, it would be like all the bars closing, all the movie houses that show other than PG movies closing. All the video stores that sold dirty movies would close. All the liquor stores would close. All the abortion centers would close. There would be no murder, no rape, no robbery, no crime. If they had a Supreme Court, they'd put prayer back in school. They would put Bible reading back in school. They would again say that abortion is immoral and illegal. They would change their definition of marriage to one man and one woman. There would be no need for police. They would be out of work. There would be no need for psychologists. They would be out of work. Because when you get right with God, things change. They ought to change, and they do change. Churches would be packed. I mean, if the same thing happened in Clio, if the same thing happened in our area, we couldn't hold the people that would come to this place and other churches to get close to God. And so we look at Jonah and say, what a testimony, what a wonderful thing. Yeah, he didn't do right the first time, but he listened to God the second time, and he went, and Nineveh had a great revival. But I want you to think about something. Again, my message tonight is entitled, Don't Waste a Day. I want you to think what happened in those days that Jonah was running from God, spent time in the belly of the whale, and that day that he took to get back to Nineveh. If it was a day that he ran from God and got thrown overboard, and then 3 days in the whale, and then a day to get back, that's 5 days. 5 days. Now, Nineveh was a big city. The last verse in chapter 4 says that there were more than 60,000 persons. So 60,000 persons in Nineveh that couldn't discern their right hand from their left hand. Young children that didn't know their right from their left. And so if there were 60,000 children in the city of Nineveh, it's not a stretch to say that there were probably 600,000 people in Nineveh. In a city of 600,000, how many people die in a day? Patty gets the paper on Sunday. She's the only one that reads it. I read the comics and do the puzzles that are in the comic section. But she reads the news and the coupons and all that other stuff. But every now and then, I'll read the obituaries. I wished Ruth a happy birthday as she was going out this morning, and she says, well, I just keep my eye on the obituaries to know I'm still around. And then Judy told me tonight when we were talking about it, she said, well, I saw my name on the TV one night when they were doing the obituaries, Judy Carlson. She said, boy, that makes you feel kind of weird. I said, yeah, it wouldn't me too. But in a city, so I look at the obituaries sometimes. And I don't know, it was a couple weeks before we left on our trip. I just went through and counted the obituaries that were in the Sunday paper. And that particular day, there were 22. So there were some old people. There were some middle-aged people. And there were a couple kids. One little baby had died that week, and their obituary was in the paper. And so, you know, Flint doesn't have 600,000 people in it that the Flint Journal covers the area of. And so I think it's fair to say that if we had 22 in a week, that it was probably possible that 22 people a day died in Nineveh those 5 days. That's 110 people. 110 people that didn't get to hear Jonah preach. 110 people that ended up going into eternity without considering the claim of God on their life. 110 people that ended up in hell, tormented by the fire of hell, tormented by the bottomless pit of hell, the insects that never die, the darkness of hell. 110 people that will spend all eternity weeping and gnashing their teeth. 110 people reliving the memory of perhaps having a chance to turn to God and not taking that chance. 110 people that were perhaps like the rich man that Jesus talked about in the book of Luke, that when he realized he was in hell, thought about his five brothers and asked Abraham, Father Abraham, to send somebody to talk to his five brothers so they wouldn't end up in that same place. 110 people. I don't think it's a stretch to say that there could have been 110 people that died those 5 days that Jonah was running from God, those days that he spent in the belly of the whale, those days that he didn't do what God told him to do, and 110 people paid the price of his disobedience. Now, I tell you that to encourage us tonight. Every day is important. Every hour is important. When God tells us that we need to redeem the time, that we need to take advantage of the opportunities that he gives us, we need to think not only, as Becky's saying about, hey, if we don't, we're being disobedient to God, but we need to think about those people who God may brought across our path, and if we're disobedient and not witness to them, they perhaps will never hear the gospel and never get an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. And I know some of you might say, well, preacher, I don't believe that's the way God works. I believe that if one Christian is disobedient, God will give them somebody else to come into their life and tell them about Jesus. And maybe you're right. And if that makes you feel better, you can go ahead and think that. But I don't want to feel better. I don't want to think like that. I don't want to take the chance that if I'm disobedient and don't go where God tells me to go and don't talk to people that God tells me to talk to, that he's going to have somebody else in the wings to lead them to Christ. I want to live with the attitude that if God tells me to go and talk to that person, then their eternity depends on me being obedient to God. Their eternity depends on me sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And so tonight, I have a real simple message, 3 points. I would tell you as I start, the fields are white with harvest. Jesus looked at the field one day and said, the fields are white with harvest. I just need workers. I need somebody to go in those fields and pluck the harvest. That same thing is true today. The fields are white with harvest. I was thinking, if there was 110 people that died without hearing the message from God, I wonder how many of them were children. How many of them were kids? Every Sunday, I watch these little kids come here and get their candy from the candy man. And they enjoy it. And Brother Wayne enjoys it. I think he enjoys it more than the kids enjoy it, just to have those little kids come up there and get their candy. And sometimes I just look at them and I pray. I said, "Dear God, you've entrusted us with those children. Help us to always be faithful in Sunday school and in church and in Awana, every opportunity we have. Help us to always be faithful to tell them about Jesus Christ. We don't know how long we're going to have them. We don't know how many opportunities they're going to have to hear the gospel. And we need to redeem the time. We need to never waste an opportunity to tell them about Christ. So, three points tonight. Number one, yield yourself. Let's yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit every day so that he can use us the way he wants to use us. When he tells you to go somewhere, go. I mean, I believe God sets divine appointments every day. And when he tells us to, when we're impressed to take a certain path, to go to a certain place, he may have somebody at that place that needs to hear about Jesus. So yield yourself to him. Follow his directions. Let him use your tongue. Let him use your life. Let him use your witness for Jesus Christ. You can't do it in your strength. We can't do it on our own. But we don't have to do it on our own. The Holy Spirit just wants a body to use, and he'll use ours if we will let him. We'll end up being in places and saying things that if you ask us later, "Hey, did you plan on being here? Did you plan on saying that certain thing?" We'd say, "No, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit using my tongue. It was the Holy Spirit using my body." Number two, pray for the lost every day. I think Kelly included, or somebody did in their testimony a moment ago. Every single one of us have a family member. Every single one of us have a neighbor. Every single one of us have a friend. Every single one of us have a coworker. Every single one of us have somebody in our life that needs to know Jesus Christ. Picture them in hell. Picture that person in hell. Picture that person in the fires of hell, in the bottomless pit of hell. And when you picture them in hell, it'll help you pray for them. It'll help you to be faithful to witness to them. Bible says in the 126th Psalm, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Pray for the lost. And then number three, take advantage of every opportunity that God gives you to tell somebody about Jesus. Carry tracts. Carry a New Testament. Carry something that'll help you share the gospel. The greatest way to witness is to tell somebody how you got saved. And so get your testimony down. I mean, be able to share how you got saved in a couple quick minutes with somebody. Tell them what Jesus did for you, how he saved you from sin. Every opportunity that we have, we ought to talk about Christ. We ought to talk about Jesus. Talk about everything else. I mean, we'll talk about politics. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about everything else. We as Christians ought to talk more about Jesus than we do anything else. We ought to. We ought to. As Brother Dan testified a moment ago, we ought to be so grateful for our salvation. We ought to be so grateful for the way that he's blessed us in our life. And one of the prophets said one time, I tried not to talk about God. I tried to keep the message that he gave me all bottled up. And he said, I thought I was going to explode. I couldn't hold it in. That's the same way
we ought to be when it comes to telling people about Jesus. If we try to hold it in, we ought to explode because of the love that he showed for us and the love that he has for others. So let's talk about Jesus. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jonah. He's our example that when we don't obey at first, you always give us another chance. But Father, help us to realize that we're probably people that died and apart from you in those days that he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And the same thing could happen to us. I pray that you'll impress that on us tonight. I pray you'd impress upon us how important it is for us to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, how important it is for us to be where you put us, how important it is for us to yield to the Holy Spirit so that he can use our tongue, our body, our life to tell people about Jesus Christ. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know him as their Savior, that Holy Spirit, you've spoken to them the last few minutes. You've shown them their sin and the penalty for that sin, separation from you. You've shown them the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for their sin and how he loves them, how he wants to be their Savior, and how if they'll come to him, he'll forgive them their sin, wash away their sin, dress them in his righteousness, make them right before God. And so I pray tonight, maybe there's just one, maybe there's a couple, but you know, Father, I pray that you would just bring to their heart and their mind their need for Christ and have them make that decision tonight. Speak to us as Christians. What a wonderful privilege you've given us to be your witness, to be your ambassador in this world that's dying, going to hell. We have the answer, and the answer is Jesus. Help us to be faithful in sharing him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.